Right, we're going to start here with the new Masechta, Masechet Megillah. Before we start, I always like to read the Chidushei Ramban with regards to Masechet Megillah, because he asks a very basic question that most of the Rishonim take for granted. But he says, Ani tamam me'od, maru al kacha, where he's quoting from the Megillah, he uses the Lashon of the Megillah, Magi alehem lasot Yisrael agudot b'mitzvah azu. He says, I don't understand why this mitzvah is unique in the fact that they divided up Klal Yisrael, and everybody's reading on a different day. He says, even though halachically there's no problem of lo titgodudu, nevertheless, I don't understand why they split the mitzvah up into a position where the mitzvah now has on the 14th and the 15th, and we're going to see in the Mishnah that there are even more days that they read. What is so unique about this mitzvah? Then he quotes the basic answer that most of the Rishonim give, which is, he says, well, Shema Yesh Lamar, simply has to do with when each of the groups rested, meaning that the majority of people rested on the 14th, but in Shushan, they fought for an extra day, and they rested on the 15th. He says, that just doesn't seem like the right reason. Even in Shushan, the major battle was on the 13th, not on the 14th. The 14th was just an additional day that was given to them. So then why did they push everything off until the 15th? So then he says, Ukshianti baktuvim, nityashev li ha'inyan yafeh. After I looked in the psukim, I figured out what was going on, which is, Devishu davar barur, shebizmano shel neis zeh, kfar nifkidu Yisrael, valula aretz b'yushayon koresh, v'tiyashvu barehem. So he's mechadish something that historically is not true, but very interesting. The Ramban says here, the majority of Klal Yisrael were found in Eretz Yisrael at that time. They went up with the permission of Koresh. We discussed this in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah as to the dating of Purim, when Purim falls out, whether Purim is during Galut Bavel, as seems to be indicated through Chazal, versus, historically, it seems to be that Purim fell out after Shivat Zion, after Bnei Yisrael back in Zion. But even after Shivat Zion, the majority of Jews are still not found in Eretz Yisrael. But the Ramban claims that they were. The majority of Jews were found in Eretz Yisrael. And then he says, because of that, mikom makom, anshei kneset agdola im rov Yisrael be'aretz hayu. So even though there was a large population around the world, because Haman says, yesh am mefuzar mefurad, spread out ben ha'amim, nevertheless, the majority and anshei kneset agdola are found in Eretz Yisrael. Ukshi tziva achashverosh lashmid arog labeid hayu aprazim vayerot she'en lahem choma savi besafek besakana gdola. Says that the places that were in major danger were the open cities. But they were especially the open cities in lands outside of Eretz Yisrael, that the enemies could attack them because they had no protection. And then even in the areas outside of Eretz Yisrael where they were in walled cities, they still were not under protection because the enemy lived with them in the same city. In Eretz Yisrael, they were in a little better situation. And it says, "Ukshenasa nes, asu kulam yom noach mishteh v'simcha." And when the miracle happened, everybody rested and enjoyed the miracle and had this Yom Mishteh. And then Shushan had their day the day after when they rested. But he says, Zeh haya b'shnat ha'nes bovad. That was only true in the year that the miracle took place. He says, from there forward, they only kept on the 14th the Purim, because for the open or unwalled cities, they were the major beneficiaries of the miracle, and therefore they are the only ones who celebrated after the first year, Purim. And he says, that's why it says in the Megillah, Al-Kain, the Prazim keep the Yom Abasar, and there it doesn't mention the 15th at all. So he says that they kept the 14th. And then, after they saw for a number of years that the Prazim kept this, Mordechai instituted that also the Mekufat Choma, that they did had a miracle also, they should also keep this day as a celebration. And they put them on the 15th because the Prazim were the major miracle, therefore they took place first, and then the 15th was afterwards because they were a secondary miracle or wasn't as great a miracle for them. Plus, the Prazim were the leaders in taking this role of commemorating the Nes, and therefore they're on the 14th, and the 15th was basically a secondary celebration, which you see there later on in the Megillah when Mordechai sends out the letters to everyone that should keep both the 14th and the 15th. And he says, the fisha ikar nes otan shebe Eretz Yisrael. And since the major miracle was for those that were found in Eretz Yisrael, why is that? Because the majority of the Jews were found in Eretz Yisrael. Lo ra'u she Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh v'chol Yehuda v'Yisrael b'tzurot nidonim karei ha'prazim. They didn't want them to have the same status as the open cities in Eretz Yisrael. So the only way to differentiate within Eretz Yisrael between the open cities and the walled cities was to set it based on Yoshua bin Nun and not Achashverosh. So that's the Ramban's approach. Ramban's approach is amazing on a number of issues. One is his belief that the majority of Jews were found in Eretz Yisrael, as well as his belief that the unwalled cities were the major beneficiaries, and therefore the differentiation between unwalled and walled cities is really has to do with the fact that the miracle was greater for unwalled cities, and they were the only ones celebrating Purim in the first years. And only later on were the walled cities added in because they realized there was a reason for celebration in all these situations. So that's the way the Ramban. If you look in the Ran here, Al-Arif, the Ran says that he thinks the Ramban's wrong. He says, first of all, it's clear that the majority of Jews were not found in Eretz Yisrael, number one. Number two is, he says that idea that the Nes was greater for the 14th and not the 15th and that they celebrated separate days, he says there's no foundation. And the end, he quotes that the difference was when they rested. Did they rest on the 14th? Did they rest on the 15th? And then the distinction of Yerushalayim has to do with the fact that Israel was Bechurbana, Eretz Israel and Yerushalayim were Bechurbanam, and they wanted to give a certain amount of cachet to Eretz Israel because they didn't want to Shushan to be the focus, and that's why they made it Mimot Yeshua Binun. So the Ran disagrees completely with the Ramban, but it's important to understand the Ramban because we're going to see that the Rishalmi in Shkolim says that Yom Yudalit is Purim Lakol. That the 14th is really the Purim for everybody. And that's really the core part of Purim is the 14th of Adar. The 15th of Adar, those are the Mukafot, really, according to Ramban, is completely secondary. But even according to the other Rishonim, the 14th, and we'll see the way the Gemara describes it today, the 14th is the key for everyone. And the 15th is only a alternative to the 14th. And really the 14th is the key. And when we have exceptions to that, we have to explain why somebody's not on the 14th. But that's really a derivative either of giving Eretz Yisrael Kavod or a derivative of the fact that the Ramban believes that it's a secondary celebration of Purim. Now, Masechet Megillah has interesting aspects to it because unlike Chanukah, where there is no book in Tanakh and there is no Gemara, there's no Gemara for Chanukah, it's found buried in the middle of Bamei Malikim in Shabbat, whereas with Megillah, number one, there's a book in Tanakh, and number two is, there is a Masechta. Now, the Masechta in general is not all about the Megillah. The first parak really focuses on Megillah and the Garata for the Megillah. The rest of it deals with things like Kriyat HaTorah and Kedushat Beit HaKnesset related to Masechet Megillah or aspects of Megillah. But still, the fact that you have both a Masechet and a book in Tanakh gives it a much stronger force in terms of practice because we have the Psukim, which they can darshan in terms of understanding what the practices are of the Megillah and of Purim. And now the Mishnah begins here. Megillah nikreit b'yud aleph, b'yud bet, b'yud gimel, b'yud dalet, u'betet vav. Megillah is read on the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. Lo pachot, never before that, v'lo yoter, never after that. Krachim amukafim choma mimot Yoshua binun, walled cities that were walled from the time of Yoshua binun, korim b'tet vav. They read on the 15th. The Rishonim, the Ran brings down a shita that this only applies in Eretz Yisrael. The difference between walled and unwalled cities is only applicable inside of Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban and others disagree, including the Ran himself, who says that it applies to both in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Walled cities from the time of Yeshua Binun would read on the 15th, and unwalled cities would read on the 14th. So it's equally applicable both inside of Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Kfarim v'arayot gedolot korim b'yudalet. The villages and the cities, meaning unwalled cities here, of course, read on the 14th. Ella, she'akfarim makdimim liyom haknisa. The kfarim have a dispensation to move up to the Yom HaKnisa, which is Monday or Thursday, the day that they went into the city. Yom HaKnisa, according to Rashi, is she'akfarim mitkansim l'yarot l'mishpat. It was the adjudication day. It's when the courts were in session on Mondays and Thursdays. And so the villagers were in the cities on the Monday and Thursday beforehand. So that's what it means, the Yom HaKnisa. As Rashi explains here, V'abkfarim einan b'kiyim l'krot. They don't know how to read the Megillah themselves. V'tzirchim shikren alehem echad mibnei ha'ir. They need someone from the city to do it for them. V'lo yitzirchum hachamim l'itacher v'lavo b'yom yudalid. The chamim didn't impose upon them to come in on the 14th. While they're already in the city, they dealt with the fact that they needed to read the Megillah. So sometimes the Yom HaKnisah will be the 13th, sometimes it'll be the 12th, sometimes it'll be the 11th, and that's how we get these additional days. That's the way Rashi explains it, and again, we'll come into the Gemara and explain more about why they did this. The Rabbeinu Chananel explains that it was a Yom HaKnisah because Bnei Shenichnasim Bnei HaKfarim Bakrachim Kedei Shehitpalelu B'Tzibur Bikaru B'Sefer Torah. Monday and Thursday are the days that we read the Torah, so they would come in on Mondays and Thursdays to hear Kriyat Torah and to Davo and the Tzibur. So that's why they were coming in, as well as the fact, we'll see, that they provided services to the city on those days, but that'll come in as we move down into the Gemara. So now the Mishnah is going to lay out for us how all these take place. Ketzad, Kaliot Yudala B'Sheni. If the 14th of Adar falls out on a Monday, Kfarim Vayarot Gidolot Kurim Bo Bayom. The cities and the villages all read on the 14th on that Monday. Umukufot Choma L'Machar. And the walled cities read on the next day, the 15th, which is Tuesday. Chaliot B'Shlishi U'Revi'i. If it falls out on Tuesday or Wednesday, Kfarim Makdimim L'Yom HaKnisa. The Kfarim go earlier on the Monday, which is the Yom HaKnisa. So for them, it'll either be the 12th or the 13th. Depending if it's Tuesday, then the Yom HaKnisa will be the 13th. And if it's on Wednesday, then Yom HaKnisa will be the 12th. So it'll be the 12th or the 13th when they do it on Monday. Whereas the Ayarot Gdolot Korim Bo Bayom, they wrote, read it on the Tuesday, on the Wednesday, when it is the 14th. Mukafot Choma L'Machar. And the walled cities read the next day, which will either be Wednesday or Thursday. Chaliot B'Chamishi. If it falls out on Thursday, Kfarim V'Ayarot Gdolot Korim Bo Bayom. Then the villages and the cities read on that day itself, on the Thursday, which is the 14th. Mukafot Choma L'Machar. And the walled cities read on Friday. Chaliot Erev Shabbat, if it falls out on a Friday. Kfarim Makdimim L'Yom HaKnisa. The Kfarim go back to Thursday, which is the 13th. V'Ayarot Gdolot U'Mukufot Chomim Korim Bo Bayom. Both the unwalled cities and the walled cities read on Friday, which is the 14th, because on Shabbat they can't read the Megillah. So if the 15th falls out on Shabbat, they back it up to the 14th on Friday. Chaliot B'Shabbat, if Purim falls out on Shabbat itself, the 14th on Shabbat, Kfarim Vayarot Gdolot Makdimim V'Korim Yom HaKnisa. Both the villages and the unwalled cities move back to Thursday. Because if you're going to move it already, you may as well move it back to Thursday and not put it on Friday, because then it'll interfere with Shabbat. So if you have a choice, you're not going to put it on Friday, you'll put it back to Thursday. And once you're moving it, you may as well move it to a date that is more convenient. Because they're not going to do it on Shabbat, they can't read the Megillah on Shabbat. Today, we can't have Purim fall out on Shabbat because of the way that it's set up. It does fall out on a Friday at some points. Alright, so then the Kfarim and Ayot Gdolot move back to Yom HaKnisah, Mukufot Choma L'Machar on Sunday. Chaliot Achar Shabbat, if it falls out on Motzei Shabbat, meaning Purim is on Sunday, Kfarim Makdimim L'Yom HaKnisah, then the Kfarim move back to Thursday, and that's when it'll be on the 11th. Because the 14th will be Sunday, the 11th will be Thursday. That's the case where you have it on the 11th, is when the Kfarim move back to Thursday. Vayarot Gdolot Korim Bo Bayom, the unwalled cities will read on the 14th, which is Sunday, Umukofot Choma L'Machar, and the walled cities will read it the next day on Monday. All right, so now the Gemara asks about this. Megillah nikrait biyud alif minolon. Where's that from? The Gemara says, minolon, kedabin on the meimar lakaman. We're going to explain that later on in the Gemara, in the upcoming Gemara, which is Chachamim hikilu al kfarim. The Chachamim were lenient or gave a dispensation to the villagers, the od makdimim liyom haknisa, in order to move it up to the Yom HaKnisah, which we just described before, Monday or Thursday, in order that they should provide supplies, water and food to their brothers in the cities. Now, the Gemara later on will discuss this, and it's going to change this a little bit, but there is here a difference between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Chananel, and as well as you have to discuss this in the Rishonim in general, which is, Rashi says, what does it mean, Kadesh Yisapku, that they're going to provide water and mazon to Achem Shevachem? Rashi says, Shiyu Pnuyum Beyom Purim. So they'll be free on Purim to provide the supplies to the people in the city. So if we had them reading the Megillah on the 14th as well, they would not be available to bring in the water and the food that the city needed to celebrate on Purim. So in order to facilitate the ability of the people to celebrate on the 14th, they needed to free up the villagers. How do they free up the villagers? They have them read from the Yom HaKnisah. Rashi's parish is slightly difficult because here it says, Achim Hekilu al Kfarim. They were lenient on the Kfarim. So the Gemara will take this up as well, but Rashi's explanation right now is that it's in order that they're free on Purim in order to service the people. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Chananel says over here, V'im ikantsu b'yom gimel, o b'yom dalid, mipnei kriyat ha-megillah, inam yicholim lavo b'yom hei, shu yom ha-knisah. that the problem here is that if we make them come in on the 14th to the city, they're not going to travel an extra time into the city. They come in on Monday and Thursday. If you bring them in another day, they're going to skip the Monday or Thursday. They're not going to come in more than two times during the week. If that happens, they're not going to be available on the Monday and Thursday to do their normal supplying of the city. So Kadesh Yisapku Mayim Mazon is not that they're going to provide it on Purim. It's that if we make them come in on Purim, they're not going to come in on the Monday and Thursday. If they don't come in on the Monday and Thursday, then they're not going to supply the city with the essentials that it needs, with the food and the water that it needs. So in order to facilitate Monday and Thursday still being the, what's called the Yom HaShuk, the day that they provided the Yom HaShuk, then they also read the Megillah on that day. Now, what's interesting here is that who read the Megillah and where did they read it? Again, the Ran brings down different opinions about this as to where they read the Megillah. Did they read the Megillah on the Kfarim? One of the Bnei Ir went out to the Kfarim and read it for them. Or did the Bnei Kfarim come into the city and they read it for them in the city? So that might have to do with partly why this is instituted. Rashi said before they don't know how to read the Megillah, so they need the Bnei Ir. So Rashi says they come in order to hear it in this city because one of the Bnei Ir can read it for them. But according to Rashi, the whole point is that they'll be free on Purim to supply the supplies or the essentials on Purim, so they read it on Yom HaKnisah. So there for them, they're going to be coming into the city. And same with Rabbeinu Hanano. Their other Rishonim believe that they read it in the Kfarim on the Monday and Thursday, and then they supplied the stuff on Purim itself. So that is a question here with regards to the Kfarim. Were they coming into the city and getting read to them in the city, or did somebody from the city go out and read it for them on the Monday and the Thursday? All right, so now the Gemara says, Ana hachi kamrinan. This is what we meant to ask. Michte kulu anshe kneset gadola takninhu. It must be that the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah put into place all of these possible days to read. That means from the 11th all the way to the 15th, they put it into place. So now, if they did that, so if the only days that they established, based on the Megillah, was the 14th and the 15th, how did the later Chachamim come and uproot that and then extend it to more days? Vatnan, we had this back in the Gemara and Beitza, we discussed this heavily. Ein beitin yachol levatel divrei beitin chaveiro, elim ken gadol mimenu b'chochma b'minyan. A beitin cannot override a previous beitin's establishment unless it's greater than it in number and in wisdom. So how do we come along afterwards and add on the 11th, 12th, and 13th if the Megillah or the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah of that era only established it on the 14th and the 15th? So it must be that the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah in the time of the Megillah established it on these days. So then, Elabshita Kulu Anshei Knesset HaGadolah Takinu. If that's the case, Hecha Remiza. Where is that found in the Megillah itself, in Megillat Esther? So Amar Rav Shemin Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan Makra. We can learn it out from this pasuk. L'kayem itmei Purim Eile Bizmanehem. So it says you should keep these days of Purim Bizmanehem, which is plural. Zmanim Harbei. Tiknu lahem. They had multiple times that they established for them. My says, Hami Baile the Gufe. We need that for itself. Imgein le makra zman. They could just say zman. My zmanehem. What does the plural here mean? Zmanim tuva. There's many times that you can read it. My says, Vakatami Baile. We need that anyway. Zmano shozeh, lokish mano shozeh. That this time is not like that time. We're gonna get to this on the second half of today's daf. We'll get to it later as well, which is that the 14th can't read on the 15th, and the 15th can't read on the 14th. So you need the plural world to be used here to teach you that they're multiple times and they're differentiated. They're mutually exclusive. If you're going to read on the 14th, you can't read on the 15th. If you read on the 15th, you can't read on the 14th. If you just wrote the word Zman, it would sound like there's a joint Zman between them, that they could overlap or they could make their choice as to when they read it. So the plural is coming to teach you that each one stands independently. So Gemara says, okay, imken lemakra zmanam, which would be Zman shalahem. My zmanahem, which is zmanim shalahem, shramina kulu. Therefore, you can learn all three things out from here. You can learn out that the 14th is different from the 15th, as well as the fact that there are multiple days here. So therefore, there's zmanim tuva. And if there's zmanim tuva, that means that there's more than just 2 days. There's multiple days here. So Mar says, okay, if that's the case, ema zmanim tuva, zmanahem dumia dizmanam. Let's just say here that the plurality that was extended here should be the same as the original zmanam. Mazmanam trei, just like the zmanam, the original zman shalahem, which is the 14th and 15th, are two, avzmanahem. When you extrapolate and say now there are multiple times, then it should be a extension of what exists already. So Zmanahem should be Trey as well. So that would be Ve'emar Trey Sarvel Tlesar. Then you could be the 12th and 13th. That means we have source for the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, the 15th. Where'd you get the 11th from? So the Gemara says, "Kida Amar of Shmor by Yitzchak Yud Gimel Zman Kihila Lakolhi." The 13th is the day when everybody gathered together. Now Rashi says, "Zman Kihila Lakolhi" is a call Nighalu Linakei Me'oyvehem, that everybody gathered together on that day to take revenge from their enemies. The Ran asks, and he brings down others that ask on Rashi, okay, why does that help? What does that mean that they gathered together? So what's significant about the fact that they got together for their enemies? He says that's a reason not to have the Megillah on that day. It's a reason not to celebrate because it was a difficult day. So they explain, and the Ran explains this way, that actually Yud Gimel was not included. You wouldn't include Yud Gimel because Yud Gimel is a day that is Zman Kihila Lakol, which was a day that everybody gathered together, but it was a Zman that they went out to battle on that day. Lehina came Oyvehem. And since they went Lehina came Oyvehem, that's definitely not the day. So what are you going to say? It's going to be the 11th and 12th. And the 14th and 15th. And then, from a Kal V'chomer, you'll learn out the 13th is included. Because if the 11th and 12th are included, and the 14th and 15th, then certainly the 13th is included. That's the way he does it. What's important about this statement here, about Yud Gimel Zman Kihila Lakol, is most of the Rishonim, like Rashi, say it has to do with the major nace. The major miracle was on that day, because that's the day of the battle. And that's why it's Zman Kihila Lakol. Because either they're going to take revenge from the enemies, or they were defending themselves. But the Rabbeinu Tam, it's quoted in the Ran, here are the Rif, the Rabbeinu Tam says that they fasted on the 13th. They fasted on the 13th because that's the practice of Jews who go to battle. When they go to battle, they fast before they go to battle, like by Milchamet Amalek. When they went out to Milchamet Amalek, they fasted before they went out to battle. You also find it in Shmuel Aleph, where Shaul declares it a fast day for them to go out to battle. He has the problem with his son Yonatan, didn't know about it, and he ends up eating on that day. But you see that fasting was an integral part of the process of going to war because they wanted God to be with them. So they dive into Hashem and they fasted going out to battle. So that's true, the Rabbeinu Tam says, on the 13th. Now, based on that, the Rabbeinu Tam makes a suggestion, which is not commonly accepted by all the Rishonim, that the source for Tanit Esther is very far back. It basically finds its origins in the battle by Purim, but here in the Gemara. That means the Gemara here makes a statement that acknowledges the fact that there is a Tanit Esther. Most believe that Tanit Esther is a much later addition. We have many kulot with regards to Tanit Esther because it's not considered to be one of the regular fast days. Like the other fast days that we have during the year that are Zecher l'Churban, Tanit Esther has many kulot that are associated with it, including the fact that Tanit Esther is the only fast day which we move forward and not backwards. If it falls out in a day that we can't fast, like Shabbat, we move it back to Thursday, we don't make it to Sunday. Tisha B'Av, Shiva Sabbatamos, if they fall out on Shabbat, we postpone it to after Shabbat till Sunday. And that's based on the Gemara's statement that Agdume Purnoto, we don't move up Puranut, we only Machrim Purnoto, we only delay Puranut. So that is said with regards to Shiva Sabbatamos and Tisha B'Av, that we always try to delay bad things, we don't bring them forward. But the fact that we bring forward Tanit Esther already shows you that it has a different genre of fast. It's a different theme of fast because they're willing to bring it up and not delay it. So many believe that it was a much later addition to fast of Tanit Esther, and that it's not found in the Gemara at all. It's not found whatsoever. There's no source for it in the Gemara, and it's a much later addition to added in the time of the Geonim. Whereas the Rabbeinu Tam, by saying that the Zman Kihila Lakol here refers to basically what the equivalent of a Tanit Esther, says that it's actually sourced in the Gemara. There is one other additional or exceptional shita with regards to Tanit Esther, and that is the shita of the Raivud that is quoted by the Ran in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, who says the pasuk in Megillah that says that the Jews kimu al nafshem azram divrei tzomot v'zakatam. He says that divrei tzomot references to Tanit Esther. Most of the other Rishonim learn that it refers to the fast in Zechariah, which are the fasts of the Churban. But the Raivud reads it as referring to the Tanit Esther. And therefore, he believes that Tanit Esther has a source in Tanakh, not just in the Gemara like the Rabbeinu Tam, but in Tanakh itself, which would, again, change the dynamic or the way that we look halachically at Tanit Esther. Now, truthfully, it really is Tanit Esther and Purim as a package are very similar to Yom HaKippurim. We know that the Maral plays on this, and the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Chutner, in his Sfarim, speaks about this a lot. This thing that the Gra mentioned, as well as the Maral, that Yom HaKippurim is Yom Kippurim. It's a day similar to Purim. And what actually turns out is that Purim and Yom HaKippurim are exact opposites, which is that when it comes to Purim, we fast on Tanit Esther beforehand, and then we celebrate and feast on the next day, which is Purim. With regards to Yom Kippur, we do the opposite. On the 9th, we eat and we have a festive meals, and then we fast on the next day, which is Yom HaKippurim. And what it turns out is that we actually are going to the extremes. Yom HaKippurim is the extreme, the spiritual extreme, where we leave any part of the physical world, and we're completely enveloped, engrossed in tefillah and in spiritual pursuits of getting close to Hashem. K'malachei Hashem tzvakot. We act like malachim on that day. So it's been stripped of its side of Yom Tov, that's the physical side, and left only with the spiritual side. So where do we make it up? On Erev Yom Kippur, we make it up by having the physical side on Erev Yom Kippur. Purim is just the opposite. Purim is a day all about physicality. I mean, that the reason that we celebrate through Mishteh, Yayin, and all of those things is because we were facing physical annihilation. And because we were saved from physical annihilation, the celebration is all about those physical experiences of Yom Tov. It's a day that's completely dedicated to celebration, eating, drinking, and so on and so forth. So the day before Tanit Esther gives you the spiritual side, gives you that Ruchani side that is quote-unquote absent on Purim because there's so much focus on the physical. So the 2 days together as a package make up what a normal Yom Tov would look like. A normal Yom Tov would have both aspects in it. But the way we have it in Yom Kippur is the focus is totally to the one side. So the day before we make up what we missed. And same thing with Purim. Since Purim is so far to one extreme, we make up for the other side by having Tanit Esther beforehand. So that gives Tanit Esther a different flavor in terms of its fast day and its experience than some of the other fast days that come about. But that's based on the Rabbeinu Tam, who thinks that this Yud Gimel Zman Ki Lelokol references Tanit Esther. Most of the other Rishonim do not say that. Again, therefore, Tanit Esther has a very different halachic standing versus the other fast days. So Gemara says, because Yud Gimel Lelokol Zman Ki Lelokol Tzarech LeRibuyei, therefore you don't have to include it. So Hachanami, so too over here, Yud Gimel Zman Ki Lelokol Tzarech LeRibuyei, you don't have to include it. So Gemara says, Ema Shitzar V'Shivzar. Why don't you say the extra days we include are the 16th and 17th? When it says, you can't say that because the pasuk says, v'lo yavur, tiv. Pasuk says that yemei ha-pirim eila, v'lo yavur, you will not pass them by, meaning that you will not go beyond the days that are mentioned here, and that's beyond the 15th. So the 15th is the last day that you can have purim. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani amar kra, pasuk says, so this is an alternative answer as to where we know these extra days from, which is, k'yamim asher nachu b'hem ha-yudim. So here he focuses on the kafa dimyom. It doesn't say Yamim Asher Nachu Bahem Ayudim, the days on which the Jews rested, but rather it says Yamim Ki Yamim. It says there are days Ki Yamim that are similar to those days. So what does similar mean? There are both Yud Aleph Vid Yud Bet, to include the 11th and 12th. So just like there are Yamim, the Yamim are the 14th and 15th, so there are Ki Yamim, there are days like that. What are those days that are like that? The 11th and 12th. Veima Tresar V'Tleisar, why don't you say you include the 12th and 13th? Why are you going back to 11th and 12th? So Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Yud Gimel Zman Kisekila Lekolhi. That's what we just quoted above, because the 13th is a day that you wouldn't include. Either because it's already a day designated for gathering the people together, and therefore it's obvious that you could read the Megillah on that day, or, according to the other Rishonim, it's a day that you wouldn't assume is the day that you read the Megillah because of the nature of the day, which is the fact that they went out to battle, and it was a day of danger, and a day of battle. So therefore, of course, we include the 11th and 12th. But once we've included the 11th and 12th, and the 14th and 15th, then the 13th gets, B'kav HaChomer gets included in this. So Mar says, because it's Zman Ki Lelokol, lo tzarich l'ribuyei, you don't have to include it. V'ei Mashitzar V'Shivzar, why don't you say the 16th and 17th like we asked before? It says, V'lo Yavor K'tiv, because you can't go beyond the 14th and 15th, the same answer. So now Mar says, they have two answers here. We have one answer that was given by Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, who says that it comes from Kayamim. And then we had the earlier answer from Rav Shemin bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan, because of Zmanehem. So Gemara wants to know, Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, my time will omar, me mean Zmanehem. So why does he learn out, mean Zmanehem, is similar to the way that Rav Shemin bar Abba learned? He says, Zman, Zmanam, Zmanehem, lo mashmalei. He doesn't like that drusha of Zman, Zmanam, Zmanehem. He says that you're playing around with the word. That's not a real drusha. That's not what I would have learned out of the Pasuk. The Pasuk reads simply, as Zmanim, meaning back to the 14th and 15th. It's referencing the multiple days, but the days that are referencing the 14th and 15th. So Rav Shemin Abba, my dama lo amar, miki yamim. Rav Shemin Abba, why doesn't he learn out of the kafa dimyon, mikam yamim? So Amar l'cha, hu l'dorot hu d'chtiv. Because that's written for future generations. Meaning that it says that the days that you rested were the 14th and 15th, and then it says, Kayamim asher nachu behem ayudim. In the future, they're going to celebrate the 14th and 15th, or you must celebrate the 14th and 15th, Kayamim. Similar to the days originally, when the Jews rested on the 14th and the 15th. So that's why each one of them takes their approach and not the other's approach. But now we had the source for the fact that the Mishnah has multiple days that you can read the Megillah on. Though that source is sourced out of the Megillah for the fact that it either says Kiyamim or Bizmanehem. So those two words indicate that there are additional days to read. We say those are the 11th and 12th. And then again, we include the 13th because it's Man Kihila Lakol or because of a Kal Vichomer. So that's how we get the source for the days. Just note that the Yerushalmi has a Deyah that you can read the Megillah all the way from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh, from Rosh Chodesh Adar all the way to Purim. And that their extension of this, or the ability to read the Megillah, is not only from the 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, but even earlier, even from Rosh Chodesh Adar. Now, the reason that we're doing Masechet Megillah now is because of the final Mishnah in Tanit said, Mishenichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha. And then we had the statement in the Gemara that Kishem, Shenichnasim Av, Mematim B'Simcha, Kach, Mishenichnas Adar, Marbim B'Simcha. So that's how we moved from Tanit into Masechet Megillah, because Av, which is a month in which we diminish Simcha, Adar is the other way around, where we increase the Simcha. And the fact that Mishenichnas Adar, Marbim B'Simcha means that Purim already flavors the whole month. And since it flavors the whole month, there is a day on the Yerushalmi that you can read Megillah all the way from Rosh Chodesh Adar. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Chana Rabbi Yochanan, Zo Divrei Rabbi Akiva Stimta. Our Mishnah is based on Rabbi Akiva, I mean it's a Stam Mishnah, but it's really the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The Darish Zman, Zmanam, Zmanehem. Because he has this drasha that gives him the multiple days. Aval Chachamim Armim, Ein Korin Otai Ela Bizmana. But the Chachamim believe, not like Rabbi Akiva, that you can only read it on the 14th and the 15th. Where it says, Meitavei, is that really true? Amri Rabbi Yehuda, Eimatai Bizman Shashanim Kitikanam. Yisrael Shruim Alad Matam. When is it true that you can move things up to the 11th, 12th, and 13th? That's when the Shanim Ketikanam. That's when the Beit Din establishes the years and they're in control of the calendar. And Bnei Yisrael live in their land and there isn't problems with traveling and disseminating the information so everybody gets it. Today, so the Gemara gives a third reason here, which is that independent of the first two reasons, which is, number one, we're in control of the calendar. Number two is that we have a certain amount of autonomy, so we can get the information out to the people as to when they can read and when it's possible for them to read. There's a third answer, which is that today, since the messengers don't get out and people are spread out across the world, they depend on Purim to know when Pesach is. Mistaklimba. They look at Purim and they say, well, 30 days later is Pesach. So if we let people read on the 11th, 12th, and 13th, as Rashi points out, they're going to end up making Pesach on the wrong day. They're going to make Pesach early because they just assume 30 days after Purim is going to be Pesach. And because of that, we don't want to play around with the 11th, 12th, and 13th. We just make it on the 14th and 15th because then people will know that that is the trigger from there to Pesach and they'll know when to keep Pesach. So because of that problem, we say no more doing this. So now, Rabbi Yehuda Libedaman. Rabbi Yehuda's position is according to which of the Tanaim here. It's not according to Rabbi Akiva, and not according to Chachamim. Ilei malibid Rabbi Akiva, afilu bizman hazeh, ita l'hai takanto. According to what you're establishing now, Rabbi Akiva believes even today the takana is in place, and you would read on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Alav alibid Rabbanon, so you can say it's according to Rabbanon. Bizman shashanim kitikunam, yisoh shum alamatam, miyakarinan. Wait, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the only problem is today. But that means beforehand, when things were fine, and Bnei Yisrael was autonomous and they had control over their calendar, they did read it on 11, 12th, or 13th, and that's against this position that was brought by Rabbi Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan. And that's what Gemara says now, Tuyufta, the Rabbi Yochanan, Tuyufta. That is a strong refutation of this position of Rabbi Yochanan that the Chachamim don't believe in this drasha. Because the way Rabbi Yehuda sets it up is they do believe in the drasha. It's just now, because of the way things are today, they don't believe in it. But in the earlier times, they did have the drasha and they agreed with Rabbi Akiva. So Ikadamar, we have another lashon that basically states it in that way, which is Amar Rabbi Rachanam, Rabbi Yochanan, Zo Divrei Rabbi Akiva Stimta, Chachamim Amru, Bizmana Zeh, Ho Mistaklim Ba, Ein Korin Otah LeBizmana. So here the Chachamim say, you're right, Rabbi Akiva, but that was only in the olden days. But today, where everybody uses Purim as their benchmark for knowing where Pesach is, we no longer move it around, we only do it on the 14th. So Tanya Nami Hochi, now we have a bright to support that, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, So now Rabbi Yehuda's statement is a support for the way that Rabbi Yochanan has explained the Chachamim, which is, in the old days, you're right, Rabbi Kiva, we did do the 11, 12, and 13, but today, we no longer do that, it's only on the 14th, and that's basically the Chachamim, and that's Rabbi Yehuda's position, is supporting that position of the Chachamim now, and that's why they said, Tanya Nami Hochi, according to the second Lashon of the Ika de Amre. Ravashi Amar Kashle de Rabbi Yehuda de Rabbi Yehuda. He has a problem, a stira in the position of Rabbi Yehuda. One position of Rabbi Yehuda we just read, as far as the statement about the 11th, 12th, and 13th, that today it does not apply and you only read on the 14th, versus in earlier times where you did read it. It says, Umukim la the Braitek Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. He solves the problem by changing the attribution, the authorship of the Braita to be Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda and not Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara explains what Ravashi was speaking about. Is it really true that Rabbi Yehuda says that today, because people use it as a benchmark for Pesach, that they only read it on the 14th? We have a Mishnah coming up on Daf Hey, which says, when do they read it? It's the places when they go in on the Monday and Thursday. If you're in a place that doesn't go in, I mean the villagers don't go into the city on the Monday and Thursday, then you only read it on its proper time on the 14th. So now the Gemara is medayik from his statement in that Mishnah, which is, Makom shenichnasim b'sheni b'chamishi miyakarina. If this is a practice where the villagers go into the city on Monday and Thursday, then you read it, v'afilu b'zman hazeh, even today. I mean, they don't make any distinction between zman habayit and zman hazeh, or when things are good and when things are not good. There's no distinction made in that Mishnah. Only Mishnah only makes a distinction between whether they go in on Monday, Thursday, they don't go in. Implying that if they went in on Monday, Thursday, even Bizman Azeh, then you would have them read it on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. So how does he solve that problem? Mukim la the Braita, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. The Braita that we quoted on the previous Amud, he said it's authored by Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, and not by Rabbi Yehuda. Where it says, Mishum Kashale, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda. Because he has a steer between the Braita of Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah coming up of Rabbi Yehuda, Mukim la the Braita, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, he just solves the problem by changing the attribution? That doesn't make sense. How could he just randomly change the attribution to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda? Where it says, Ravashi shmiele dika tani loak Rabbi Yehuda. Vika de tani loak Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. He heard the Braita sometimes quoted from Yehuda and sometimes quoted from Berosi, Rabbi Yehuda. Omenikashile de Rabbi Yehuda, de Rabbi Yehuda. But since he had a problem in Rabbi Yehuda's Shita based on the Mishnah coming up, Amar man tani lo, Rabbi Yehuda lav dafka. Whoever says it's Rabbi Yehuda doesn't mean literally Rabbi Yehuda, they mean Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Oman tani lo, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda dafka. They're right. So he says there were differences in the versions of the Braita, but he says that the attribution to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is correct, because otherwise you're going to have a stira in Rabbi Yehuda. Proves that by the fact that the Mishnah coming up will not agree with this position you're finding in the Braita. So how do I reconcile that? I have one be authored by Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, which is the Braita that says it only applied in the olden days, but today they don't read on the 11th, 12th, and 13th, versus Rabbi Yehuda in the upcoming Mishnah, who says it's all dependent on whether they go in on Monday and Thursdays or they don't go in on Monday and Thursdays. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. B'zman hazeh, lo b'zman hazeh, none of that is relevant. So that's how he solved the problem, by changing the attribution or authorship. Right now the Gemara deals with, in our Mishnah, Kachim, Hamuklafim Chomam Mimot Yeshua Binun. These are cities that were walled from the time of Yeshua Binun. Karim b'chamishasa, they read on the 15th. Mina hane mile. How do we know that this is true? Amarov v'amakra. Alkena yudim ha-prazim, hayoshvim ba'arei ha-prazot. It says that the yudim in the prazim, that live in the area prazot in the unwalled cities, they keep the 14th as the day of Purim. By the way, this is the pasuk that the Ramban quotes to show you that originally there was only the 14th. The 15th was a later addition. So now Gemara says, mi de prazim ba'arbasar mukafim b'chamishasa. Since the unwalled cities are on the 14th, then certainly the walled cities are on the 15th. Mar says, wait a minute. Ve'ema prazim barbasar, mukafim klalu klalo. So just say the unwalled cities read on the 14th, and the walled cities don't read at all. This Havamino is also supportive of the Ramban Shita here, because the Gemara has a proposition that actually only the people on the 14th would read, and not the 15th. Why would you ever have a Havamino like that? And that is explained by this Shita of the Ramban, that originally only the people in the Prazim celebrated Purim, and the addition of the walled cities was a later institution of Mordechai that made Purim a general holiday that included everyone, not just the unwalled cities. The Lav Yisrael, you know, the Gemara says, wait a minute, why don't they read? Aren't they Jews? The Megillah says that they did this Mihodu Ad Kush. Now, the truth is that they don't say. The Megillah never says Mahodu al-Kush. It says that Mordechai sent out messengers to Chol Malchut Achashverosh, to everywhere Achashverosh was a ruler. And we know from earlier in the Megillah, the opening pasuk of Megillah, that Achashverosh rules Mehodu al-Kush. So Gemara says it's if it's written Mehodu al-Kush. That means that everywhere the Jews kept it, whether they were in walled cities or non-walled cities. So that can't be the case. So Gemara says, okay, let's say it this way. Ve'ema prazim barbasar, mukafim barbasar ubechameshasar. See that the unwalled cities read on the 14th, but the walled cities have to read on the 14th and the 15th. Gemara says, kirichtiv, liotosim et yom arbasar lechodesh adar, ve'et yom chamishasar bo b'chol shana. So Gemara says, no, you can't say that, because i'avikhtiv et yom arbasar v'chamishasar kidamart. It said the 14th and the 15th. It's like you said. Hashvichtiv et yom arbaasar ve'et yom chamishasar. That extra ve'et in there, ata et upasik. That et comes to divide them and say that these are totally separate entities. So that hani barbaasar v'hani bechamishasar. That they go on the 14th and they go on the 15th. I mean, it's coming to divide the days up and say that they're separate. So the Gemara says, okay. Ve'ema, let's say it this way. Prazim barbaasar. That the unwalled cities read on the 14th. Mukafim, the walled cities, Ibau Arbeisar, Ibau Chameshasar. They get to choose. They can read on the 14th or the 15th, whichever one they choose. It says, Amar Zmanehem, this is what we saw in the previous Amud, Zmano Shalzeh, Lo Zmano Shalzeh. Zmanehem comes to teach you that each one has an independent time and they're mutually exclusive. If you're reading on the 14th, you can't be reading on the 15th. If you're reading on the 15th, you can't be reading on the 14th. So that teaches you that the 14th is one day, 15th is a separate day. Since the 14th is for the unwalled cities, it must be that the walled cities are on the 15th. So now the Gemara says, V'emar b'tleisar. So why don't they do it on the 13th? If the walled cities have to do something different than the unwalled cities, why don't you say they read on the 13th instead of the 15th? Gemara says, Kishushan. They do it like Shushan. So by Shushan, they did it on the 15th. So too, by the walled cities, they're going to do it on the 15th. The Gemara says, Ashkechan Asiya. We have it by the practice of the mitzvot, Zechira Minolan. How do we know that it has to do with the Kriyat HaMegillah? So Asiyah here, as Rashi points out, is Mishtev Yom Tov, referring to the mitzvot of the day, or the practice of the day. Over there, the Pasuk says, Alken HaYudim HaPrazim HaYoshvim Barei HaPrazot Osim Et Yom Rasar. That's Asiyah. They do the mitzvot of Purim on the 14th. From there, we learn that the Asiyah, the mitzvot of the 14th, is for the unwalled cities, and the mitzvot for the walled cities is on the 15th. What about Kriyat HaMegillah? Zichira, which is the mentioning of Kriyat HaMegillah, how do we know that we have that same distinction between the 14th and the 15th? Because the word haskara, or the reading of the Megillah, is not mentioned there. So it says, based on the pasuk later on, Amar Kra, v'hayamim ha'ila nizkarim v'na'asim. They are remembered and done. What does that mean? Itish zechira le'asiyah. There is a juxtaposition or connection now between zechira and asiyah. Just like asiyah, there is a differentiation between the 14th and 15th based on unwalled and walled cities. So too with Zechira, the Kriyat HaMegillah has that same din that the 14th is read in unwalled cities and the 15th in walled cities. So that hekesh between Zechira and Asiyah means that the din of the mitzvah of Yom HaPurim and the din of Kriyat HaMegillah are parallel. And therefore, if you are in an all-walled city, you're going to do the mitzvah on the 14th and you're going to read on the 14th. If you're in a walled city, you're going to do the mitzvah on the 15th and you're going to read the Megillah on the 15th. All right, so now the Gemara says, Matnitan Deloki Aitano. Our Mishnah is not like this Tano. Because the Tanya, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha Omer, Krachim Amukafim Choma Mimot Achash Ve'Rosh Korim B'Chamishasar. He says the threshold for determining whether you're a walled city or not is whether you're walled in the time of Achash Ve'Rosh. That's the only deciding factor, not Yoshua ben Nun. So the Gemara wants to understand, now my time with Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, what is Rabbi Shua ben Karcha's reasoning? Now, you really don't have to ask that. His reasoning makes a lot of sense. Ki Shushan. Ma Shushan Mukafet Choma Mimot Achash Ve'Rosh V'Korim B'Chamishasar. In Shushan, they read on the 15th, and it's a walled city from the time of Achashverosh. Av Goshem Mukevet Choma Mimot Achashverosh, Korim B'Chamishasar. If you want to have a paradigm of a city that reads on the 15th, Shushan is that. So if you're going to parallel that in other cities, those cities should look like Shushan. Gemara says, V'tani Didan my time. Now that's a much bigger question. Tanu says it's from Mimot Yoshua Binun. What does Yoshua Binun have to do with this at all? So Yali Prozi, he learns out Exereshava of the word Paraz, or Prazi, which means an unwalled city. Actually, the source of the word prazi comes from the word paruz. It's interesting that the paruz means something that is open and dispersed. And the reason that they're open and dispersed or paruz is because it's an unwalled city. In a walled city, everybody's got to fit within the walls of the city. So it's much more dense and crowded in the city. So a peruse is open in the sense of both the fact that it's open to expose to the enemies because there's no wall around it, but it's also spread out more. It's more dispersed because they don't have to contain themselves within a space. They can spread out because they're not limited by the wall around the city. So that's what prazi or peruse comes to teach you about unwalled cities. It says by us in the Megillah, Akena Yehudim ha-prazim. Uchtev hotam, and it reads in Devarim, Levad mi'arei ha-prazi harbei, me'od. Excluding all the unwalled cities that they conquered, at least the capital cities or the walled cities that they captured, beyond or on top of all these unwalled cities that they captured. Malahalan, Rashi takes out the girsa of Mukefet Choma here. It doesn't make sense because these are unwalled cities, so why would you be talking about walled cities? So it says, Malahalan mimot Yoshua binun. Just like over there, we're talking about the time of Yoshua binun. I mean, it's really Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's on the verge of Moshe's death, he's speaking, and it's when Yoshua binun is going to take over the mantle of leadership. So, Afkan, Mimot Yeshua Binun. So, just like the Prazi in Sefer Devarim is talking about from the time of Yeshua Binun, so too the Prazi in the Megillah is going to reference to the time of Yeshua Binun. Where it says, Bishlama Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, Loa Marketana Didan, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha doesn't hold like Artana, the late lay Prazi Prazi. He doesn't have that Gezerah Shava Prazi Prazi, as Rashi notes over here, Ein Adam Dan, Gezerah Shava Me'atzmo. A person can't make up his own Gezerah Shava unless he has a Mesorah from his Rebbe. So the reason he didn't do this is because he doesn't have a Mesorah about this Gezerah Shava, Prazi, Prazi. So that's why he didn't think that. He thought, makes sense, the Megillah is written in the time of Shushan, so it's important that the walled cities be benchmarked to Shushan HaBira. El Atana Didan, my time aloha mark Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. Why does our Tana not hold like Rabbi Shua ben Karcha? My time aloha mark Prazi, Prazi. Very easy. He has the Gezerah Shava. He had a Mesorah about the Gezerah Shava. It says, no, hafikamar. El Shushan da Abda Keman. He said, according to Artano, who says that it has to do with Mimot Yeshua Binun, then Shushan, how does it work out in Shushan? Loka Prazim, but Loka Mukafim. It's not an unwalled city, which would do it on the 14th, because Shushan does it on the 15th. But on the 15th, it's also not like the walled cities, because Shushan is not walled from the time of Yeshua Binun. So Amar Rava V'Amri Lakadi. So Rava says, and some people say without attribution, is Shani Shushan, Ho V'Naseh Banes. Shushan has its own unique standing because it was the place of the miracle. Since it's the place of the miracle, either according to Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, it becomes the benchmark to determine when a city is walled, or according to our Tana, it's accepted from the rules, normal rules of a walled city. It doesn't have to be for Yoshua ben Nun. It's enough that it's on the 15th because it's a unique place because of the miracle that took place there. It was the center of the seat of the king, and therefore that was where all the major events played out. So Mar says, now Bishlam al-Tana didan. It makes sense according to Atana Haina Dichtiv. That's what it means in the Megillah, Medina, Medina, Vi'ir, Vi'ir. So what does that mean? It means that there's differentiation between Medina, Medina, and the differentiation Vi'ir, Vi'ir. Medina, Medina, the differentiation between Medina, Medina is the Chaleik ben Mukafot Choma Mimot Yeshua Benun, the Mukafot Choma Mimot Achashverosh. It's the differentiation between those that are walled in the time of Yeshua Benun to those that are walled in Mimot Achashverosh, because they'll have a different din. Ir Vi'ir, Nami the Chaleik ben Shushan the Shayarot. And year by year comes to teach you there's a distinction between Shushan and other cities, because even though Shushan doesn't have a wall from time of Yeshua Binun, it's different than other unwalled cities or walled cities that were later walled, because it reads on the 15th. El Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, there's only one distinction. Bishlama midina midina lechalek ben Shushan l'shar areot. The only distinction is between Shushan and other cities. Shushan, which is a walled city, and other cities that are not walled. But everything else is the same, meaning any walled city has got to be benchmarked by Shushan, and unwalled is also benchmarked. So there's only one differentiation. Year over year, the Mayato. Where does he need another distinction between city to city? According to the Tana here, it's really so easy to explain this. He learns out this whole din from the Gezerah Shava. Why does he need another pasuk in Megillah to tell you Medina Medina to distinguish between them? That pasuk of Medina Medina year over year comes from a separate drasha. Ukeder Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who the Ata comes with that drush of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Dam Rabbi Shua ben Levi, krach v'chol asamuchlo v'chol aniraimo nidon kekrach. That a city, a walled city, anything that is adjacent to the walled city, meaning villages or suburbs of the walled city, have a din like the walled city. V'chol aniraimo, anything that can be seen, any place from where you can see this city, also is included like that, and in the way Rashi explains it over here, that those are independent statements, meaning that you don't have to both be proximate and visible. It can be either one. Either you're proximate or you're visible. The Gemara is going to mention this later on. It's not, you know, Rashi is just quoting the Gemara that's going to explain this. So therefore, if you can satisfy one of those two things, That's enough to make you like the walled city, and you would read on the 15th, even though you're not technically in the walled city. You become an adjunct to the walled city, and we learn it out from this. Medina, Medina, and ir v'ir comes to teach you that din. So ad kama, how far away can you be and still be included? It's like the distance between chamat and teveria, which is a meal. So Gemara says, v'leim a meal. Just tell us it's a meal. Hakamashman, the shiur of the meal, kamahava, you want to know how much a meal is, it's kamei chamatan and teveria. It's the distance between chamatan and teveria. That's the distance of a meal. So it's not only giving you the measurement, it's also giving you a way to see what that measurement is. So that's the conclusion of this statement, Amar Rav Yirmiyah Amitem Rav Chir Ba'ava, who says that it was a meal. Now we're going to have a bunch of statements from Amar Rav Yirmiyah Amitem Rav Chir Ba'ava, nothing to do with Megillah, but because he's the author of the position, they're brought over here. So we'll do the first of them right now, which is Amar Rav Yirmiyah Amitem Rav Chir Ba'ava, Mansapach Tzofim Amrum. Mansapach came from the Nevi'im. And as the Rabbeinu Tam points out, it's like a double play on words, because Tzofeh or Tzofayich refers to Nevi'im. And the word, the mansapach, is like a play on the word sofayich, on those that see the Nevi'im. Mansapach are all the letters that have sofits to them. Not only do they have a letter that's pashut, they also have a letter that has a sofit. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that the letters that were sofit were brought into play by the Nevi'im. Where it says, v'tispera, is that really true? V'aktiv ela mitzvot. She'ein navi rashay l'chadesh davar mi'ata. That when Hashem establishes with a mitzvah at Har Sinai, you cannot add on any more mitzvot after the period of Har Sinai. That's the time when mitzvah were given. There's no mitzvah added on later on. You're telling me now that there's a new rule with regards to these letters that came in from the Nevi'im. How are the Nevi'im allowed to add in a din like this? Ve'od, Hamar Rav Chista, Mem v'samach shebeluchot, b'nei sayu omdim. The Mem Sofit and the Samach in the Luchot stood up by a miracle. This is based on the Gemara that the Luchot were carved out or etched out, the letters in Luchot, all the way through. They were etched all the way through so you could see them, Mishnei Avrehem. You could see them from both sides. That works well for every letter except a Samach and a Mem Sofit. Samach and Mem Sofit have a dot in the middle. What's suspending that dot? Well, that's the answer, B'nes Hayom Dim. That dot that's held in the middle was standing up by an ace. But what does that mean? That means in the time of Luchot, there was already a Mem Sofit. So if that's the case, then what do you mean the Nevi'im put him to place? There's already a Mem Sofit at the time of Matan Torah. Gemara says, in, mita havu havu, this is the case. They had them. The Mem Sofit existed. Velo aviyade, hai be'emtza teva, v'hai be'sof teva. They had the letters that were shutim in the Mansapach, and they had the letters that were Sofit. They didn't know. We call it a Sofit now. But they call them, whether it was a Pashut or a Satum, where do you put those? Do you put the Satum at the end and the Pashut or the Patuach in the middle? Or is it the other way around? That they didn't know. And that's what the Nevi'im, Va'atu Sofim Itakinu. The Nevi'im came along and explained, Petuchim Be'emtza, the open letters are in the middle, and they made in the middle of a word, Ustumim Be'softeva, and the Stumim go at the end of a word. So when it says, Sof Sof, Hela Mitzvot, Shein HaNavi, Adaya L'Chadesh, Tavar Me'ata. Wait a minute, you still have the problem that the Nevi'im are not allowed to add anything. If you're telling me that they're telling you where you place these letters, they're adding something that wasn't known before. Or they're changing what was born before. So Ella Shachachum v'Chazru v'Yazdum. No, they had it originally because we know the Luchot had the Sofit in it and they were suspended, and then they forgot which goes where. After a certain period of time, they forgot. They knew that they had two sets of letters with regards to Mansapach. They just weren't sure whether the Tuchim went in the middle of the word or the beginning of the word, and the Stumim went at the end of the word. It was the other way around. So then the Nevi'im came along and said, "No, this is the way it was originally. It originally was like this: that the Tuchot or the Tuchim go" in the beginning or the middle of the word, and the stumim go at the end of the word. And that they reestablished or they connected back to the original way it was after a period of time in which they forgot how it was done properly. So that's our practice, obviously, which is that we have these letters, the mansapach letters that have what we call sofits to them. The sofits are put at the end of the word, the stumim, and the open ones are put in the beginning or the middle of the word. Now, even though here our Gemara seems to indicate that the Ptuchim, that those were the Pashut ones, and the Stumim were the ones that were added later, the Gemara in Shabbat sounds just the opposite. The Gemara in Shabbat sounds like they had the Stumim, and they had to add in the Ptuchim. So all the Rishonim, Tosafot here addresses, asks about that. How come the Gemara there has one position, over here has another position? So Tosafot gives one answer, which is his typical answer, that that's the nature of Shas. In different places of Shas, they'll focus on one side or the other side. In the end, he says that the truth is that Rav Yirmiyah V'yitim Rav Chir Ba'avo made the statement about both of them. They said, Mansapach Tzofim Amrum, both about the Ptuchim as well as the Stumim. They made that statement about both of them. The Gemara in Shabbat only focuses on the Ptuchim side of it, and the Gemara here focuses on the Stumim side of it. But with the Gemaras together, you know that the Tzofim, the Nevi'im, put both of them in place. How do they put both of them in place? Is by telling us which one belongs where, and reminding us of what was true at Har Sinai. So they reestablished for us that which was true at Har Sinai, but it wasn't that they invented or they brought around some new idea or some new decision about these letters. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll continue with the next statements of Rabbi Yirmiyah, Itamar Rabbi Chir Bava, and tomorrow's daf.